It's 9:20, and as we continue to navigate these unprecedented times, KCBS is trying to get answers to your questions about the coronavirus pandemic and all the issues that have cropped up. Each weekday morning at 9:20, we're doing an Ask an Expert segment each day, focusing on a different aspect of the situation. And of course, since masks or face coverings are now mandatory for all of us in the Bay Area whenever we go into an essential business like a supermarket or a takeout restaurant or the hardware store, we thought we would get some experts aboard to talk about face masks, face coverings, how to treat them, what works, and so on. So anyway, to answer your questions about the best practices with masks, we're joined live on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by Dr. Amy Price, Stanford University Senior Research Scientist, and Dr. Larry Chu, Stanford's Professor of Anesthesiology, the Ask the Expert segment sponsored by the San Francisco Police Department. And to both of you, let me make sure I have you both on the line. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, great. Listen, it's fascinating because I'm holding the paper you two put out. It feels like a year ago, but it actually was on March 25th when the big issue was a super-duper shortage of face masks for emergency workers and frontline medical workers. There was great concern there wouldn't be enough masks. I know there were still spot shortages, but at the time, what you were looking into was what could be done to reuse or clean masks. And was this work you'd already been doing before the COVID-19 pandemic popped up?
Well, we started that report really to help inform frontline healthcare workers. And we really pulled the best available evidence at the time from all available sources, including work that our colleagues at Stanford had done. So it was an attempt to really summarize for everyone the best answers that we could at the time.
And Amy, let me ask you, what was out there? I mean, was there a lot of science on this, or was this stuff you had to really dig to find?
We had to really dig, and we were kind of fighting with policy changes by the WHO and CDC, and there were just small studies available, and we were concerned about our clinicians and also the public at large, and wanted to get the best evidence for them.
So now we're all mask wearers, as anesthesiologists and scientists and doctors have been for a long time. So let's see if we can get to some of these questions. And people have, for a lot of them, there's still, I think, some obvious disconnect. They may feel that they're wearing a mask to keep from catching the coronavirus that causes COVID-19. And what would be your bottom line advice regarding homemade masks and that question?
Well, probably the easiest way to explain it would be to use like the symbol of maybe a baby diaper. So if you have a baby without a diaper and the baby pees on your leg, you're going to get wet. If the baby has, if you have a towel or something on your lap, then it's not going to be quite as bad, but there'll be some residue. But if the baby has a diaper and you have a towel, both of you are protected. So when I wear a mask and do social distancing, I'm protecting people from me. So from anything that I spew out, because at least 40% of the population may be, have no symptoms but still carry the disease. And they are also, as a courtesy, they're also protecting me from them.
And, you know, Dr. Chu, maybe from the perspective of an anesthesiologist, worth asking, before we all started becoming amateur, mask doctors here in our new world, what was the thinking behind wearing a mask in a medical environment? Who wore them? What kind did they wear? Why, when, how?
Well, you know, the purpose of wearing a mask is obviously to trap germs. And I'm an anesthesiologist. We work in the operating room. The purpose is for us mask wearers, whether we're performing the surgery or we're assisting, that our germs don't get into the patient that we're operating on. And so if you can extrapolate that to the real world, we don't want our germs that when we're going shopping in the grocery store to get onto somebody else, whether that's the checkout person or the person that we're standing next to when we're picking out fruit. We want to keep our germs to ourselves. That's really the point of if we can get everyone to wear a mask.
You know, if that statement could be said over and over again, everybody knows doctors wear masks in the operating room. The reason you wear them is to keep from infecting the patient, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Well, let's get into these questions, and we'll let you each take a stab at them if you like. This first one says, I have a question about disposable masks. I want to know if the surgical mask and N95 disposable mask can be reused, and if I reuse them, how effective are they at protecting me against COVID-19? I've heard the effectiveness of disposable masks only lasts up to 4 hours. I've been using mine for weeks. Do they still offer any protection?
Well, what I can tell you is that the disposable masks on N95 or surgical masks were made to be disposable. If they get soiled, if they have virus on the outside, that's biohazardous material. So and from a medical standpoint, we don't like to see people put biohazardous waste back onto their face. And so reusing masks that are soiled or dirty generally is not a good idea. But I'll let Dr. Price maybe get into how you might reuse a mask if you didn't have a lot of them.
Well,
that
would depend on what kind of mask you were using. So if you're using a community mask made with cloth and perhaps a filter in between, then you could literally just you could wash it with hot water and soap. For an N95, we're looking at ways to decontaminate the masks, and what we found, two methods that we found may be useful are using hot air and for 30 minutes at about 70 degrees centigrade or 158 degrees Fahrenheit. And because it's safe, the mask fit is not corrupted, the filtration remains, whereas with many of the other methods that are used, the either require a lot of commercial equipment to do them properly, or they just are not usable in a consumer sense. For instance, many of us have ion sanitizers, but if we put those near the face and then breathe in those fumes, even though we might think they're, you know, defumigated or whatever, they're fine for a machine. But when you think that you're putting that next to your face, the FDA has actually issued warnings and say, don't use these to disinfect the disposable mask.
For the disposable surgical mask and N95 specifically, things like bleach, for instance, and alcohol are really not good.
Okay, good. And let me go back, Dr. Price, on the temperature. You mentioned about 150 Fahrenheit. And so that's not a number that people at home are likely going to achieve. A home dryer, I think is around 125 or 135. So that's something that would have to be in a more industrial or laboratory environment.
There's actually some home appliances that work quite nicely. For instance, food dehydrator.
Okay.
Will get up to 70 degrees centigrade. A crock pot. And both those items can be safely kept outside your home, so you're not bringing the biohazardous waste into your living environment, and you're not, trying to do it in your home oven or something.
Yeah. Okay. And what about the microwave? Because I think you did touch on that in your original paper.
Yeah. The challenge with the microwave is that if you put metal in the microwave, it destroys the metal. It deforms it, and the metal's needed for the fit. And also, it doesn't do your microwave any favors either. So what happens is some of the particles from the metal can also leak into the mask, and it just wasn't effective. When we tried to do this with microwave ovens, the masks were unusable.
Okay, so let's go to this next one. I've heard soap and water and household chemicals don't really work in cleaning a mask for reuse. Is that the case? And if so, what's the best way to clean a mask at home? And I think here we can stipulate we're talking about the sort of face covering masks that are, being ordered under the Bay Area shelter in place orders.
So I think soap and water are fine for cleaning the homemade masks that are generally made of cotton. I think and perhaps Dr. Price can elaborate on this, but there's a difference between that and the kind of surgical N95 masks that we anesthesiologists like I would use in the operating room.
So the virus, for instance, is covered with a hard covering that is broken down with soap and water. So the soap actually destroys that covering, and it's great for the cloth masks to disinfect them. With the other masks, of course, using alcohol, bleach, soap, anything like that, it not only might be bad breathing in because you have fumes, but it's also not good because it degrades the filter material in the mask, which is a special kind of material that is blown out to trap particles. So that's why there's such a difference between the cloth or the community masks and the surgical masks.
Okay, so a trip through a typical laundry cycle with laundry detergent ought to do the job on the community masks we're talking about?
Yeah, and most people, especially like we have families, and most people are laundering their community masks separate from any other laundry. So they would keep them in a container and then launder them just on their own.
Okay. What qualifies as an effective face mask or face covering for going into a store? This might not be one specifically for the two of you, but maybe you can take a crack at it.
Well, what we've done, actually, our other labs have done some testing on this. And what happens is any kind of covering, face covering, will provide a little bit of protection. So the mask that's most important is the one that you'll use, the one that you have with you. But there's some things that you can do to make your mask more effective. For example, if you look through your mask, you don't want to be able to see any of the pores, because if you can see through the pores, that means things can come back in through the mask. You'd want to use something with a couple of layers for extra protection. Masks also work with a little bit of static electricity, and so you want something probably that has a little polyester in, because that will hold a charge. That's probably close, if you can fit it close to your face. So you don't want it so dense that you can't breathe through it. For instance, a plastic bag would probably give you great protection, but at the end of breathing through that, where are you going to be? So it has to be enough so that you can breathe easily. Loose enough so that you can breathe easily, but as tight as possible.
Yes, and a question came in right while you were giving that answer. For making my own mask at home, would putting two layers of polyester chiffon or natural silk in between the cotton help, because they're said to hold an electrostatic charge? So that would be a plus.
Yes, silk actually doesn't hold a static electric charge. Yeah. But the polyester does. But the silk is actually good right next to the face, because it has a natural wicking quality. So it's moisture wicking. So that takes away the moisture from the face and makes it more comfortable to wear. And, of course, silk always feels good against the skin.
So going out from the face, silk, polyester, cotton might be a good approach?
Yes.
Okay. Let me ask a question that we're all asking these days, and I'll start with you, Dr. Chu, because I know you've had to wear a mask at work for a long time. How do you keep your glasses from fogging up while wearing the mask? What is your best approach?
A little piece of tape.
Yeah?
A little piece of tape right at the section where the mask connects to the nose. That really helps keep your glasses from fogging up. That's my little trick.
Okay, so it's sort of bridge of the nose, kind of like the pro athletes. Okay,
yeah.
All right, good deal. That's a good one to get out of the way. I have a reusable Vogue mask. This is a brand of these face masks that were pretty popular during the wildfires. I went to Costco the other day. They made me cover up the breathing filters with blue tape. Why is that?
So that's a good question. So it turns out that the Vogue mask, and there's other type of masks, that they have these little discs on the outside. Those are actually exhalation valves. They're not filters, so they appear to look like filters. And they help when you exhale to have less resistance. But the downside of that is that your breath that's being exhaled is not filtered by the mask. So you remember what I was talking about when we're in the operating room, we wear a mask so that our germs don't go into the patient that we're operating on. So with these VOG masks that have those discs on the outside, essentially it's bypassing that whole purpose of the mask because those discs just let your germs go right out of the mask, unfiltered.
Okay. Next question, is there any particular fabric or material I shouldn't use for a face mask?
Dr. Price, you want to take that one?
Sure. Okay, so some people are using furnace filters as a filter on the inside. So, and the problem with that is some of them contain asbestos. So basically you would be breathing glass into your or glass particles, and you would be bringing that into your lungs, which is really not good at all. So if anything that you use in the mask, you want to make sure that it's safe to have it next to your face and also safe to breathe it.
Okay, next, does a costume or Halloween mask count? If so, how should I clean it after using it? We get them all here, I have to be honest.
Well, I can actually see, that's really a good question. And so the reason that's a good question is because the one thing about a Halloween mask is fitted close to the face. So that would help with the particles, and maybe that would be a good design feature to include in some of the community masks. The challenge is that it would have to cover the area, your nose, your mouth, a little bit under your chin that a regular mask covers to be effective. And then in terms of cleaning it, you have those same issues. Does it fit close to the face, number one? Number two, what can it be cleaned with? So can you clean it with hot water and soap? Or are you going to have to sponge it down with some disinfectant? And if it's some disinfectant, need to think about Lysol's great to wash your floors with, but it's not so great to breathe into your lungs.
Okay. I've got a couple more, and then we'll let you both go. If I'm only making trips to the grocery store and walks with my dog, do I need a different mask every time I make a trip, or can I reuse the same one?
So you should be able to reuse your mask if, again, you're just collecting your own germs. I think, though, you want to wash the mask when it gets soiled. And obviously, you know, if it gets contaminated with germs from the outside. But Dr. Price, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, my concern is that since we have a large number of people with the virus that are don't show any symptoms or they're asymptomatic, if I go to the grocery store and like there's a lot of people in the grocery store, all kinds, and some of them are wearing their mask properly, some aren't, they're touching all the food, and that's a problem. So if I go to the grocery store, I wash my mask. If I walk my dog that's out in the open air, or if I go for a run, I don't necessarily, sometimes I don't even wear a mask because, you know, it's not directly in the public. But walking in the public, if I was just walking my dog, didn't come in contact with any people and had considered the social distancing rules, I wouldn't feel the need to wash it. But I think the one thing that we need to remember is that the virus is invisible. I was shocked because I'm presently in Florida, and when I left Florida, there was no virus in our state that was declared. After a trip to the UK and California, I came back, and it was just days before they closed down the whole state. But at the airport, people were very close to each other, touching, breathing, and any of them could have been infected. But we wouldn't be able to see it. They looked healthy. So I would exercise. I would exercise caution.
Okay. Final question then. Before we, Dr. Chu, did you have something to add?
No, go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
And this last one was. This has popped up a couple of times. I have a blue UV light cleaner for my cell phone. Does that work for cleaning the face mask?
The FDA says no.
Exactly. Yes and no.
Yeah.
Okay, so please expand.
Those types of lights can inactivate the virus, but it depends on what wavelength of light, but also how long you leave it on and the coverage. If you're going to get it into all areas of the mask. Therefore, that's this hesitation that you sense from us. It's generally not a great method because of the user error that can result, both from do you have the right light? Are you using the right kind of UV light? Are you putting it in long enough? Are you getting all areas of the mask? It's for those reasons.
And there's also some testing that's gone on. And the consistency, the light, the rays coming from the light are not always consistent. So you don't always know how consistent that that light is for the whole cleaning surface of your mask.
Fair enough.
And, you know, and if you're using it on the disposable mask, then we found that we did a study on fit. And what we found was that UV light breaks the mask down in terms of fit and quality very quickly. If it's a cloth mask, again, it's probably simpler just to put it in soap and water.
Yeah, sounds like the right answer. Well, listen, both of you, thanks for taking the time. There's a lot of good information in there, and we hope you stay well and continue to stay on top of this. Thanks so much.
Our pleasure.
Thank you so much having us.
Okay, thanks a lot. That's Dr. Larry Chu. He's a professor of anesthesiology at Stanford University School of Medicine, and Dr. Amy Price, a senior research scientist at the Stanford School of Medicine. And that's this morning's Ask an Expert segment.